and publisher of...
Hello, I am a hologram. I expired 2 years ago, but by the miracle of modern...
Ivermectin,
I appear. No, I'm great. I'm just wonderful. Thank you, everybody. All have expressed concern after I had my Omicron fun. This is Chuck and Julie show. Chuck straight up.
Chuck straight up, fortunately. He has not been Newsman more. less reclined.
Brought to you by.
Chuck and Julie reclined. No, brought to you by AmericaCitizenPress.com and Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. And let me once again give it a shout out to Dr. Julie McCallan. As soon as Chuck got sick, for those of you who weren't listening Monday, Chuck got the Rona. I would call them sort of bad cold symptoms, on the phone. First, we went to the resistance headquarters and got some ivermectin. And then, Dr. Julie McCallan sent a care package, and doing much better. Significantly better.
Yeah. I mean, I really was fairly sick. I don't know what fairly sick
means. Well, it was a bad cold. I would call it.
I wouldn't call it cold. It felt like flu. Didn't feel like cold. But you know, we have all these miracle things. We have ivermectin, we have zinc, we have other things you can take and inhalers and all that. And you can recover pretty quickly. I mean, I came down with it Saturday and today is Wednesday and I'm feeling pretty good today. But the problem is if you know, your government doesn't let you get. I mean, I couldn't get ivermectin from the pharmacy.
Nope.
Local pharmacy. They will not prescribe it because it's what? It's what?
I mean, and now there's another study out of Brazil today that shows it enormously effective. I have not gotten, knock on wood, sick at all.
Been taking some ivermectin to help hold it off. So it's an amazing, your government trying to, and your medical establishment. I mean, there are people in the Mayo Institute where some of they brought in, because that's one of the greatest medical institutes in the world, tried to get them ivermectin. They refused. The court refused to have them.
YouTube banned Joe Rogan. Doctors who aren't really doctors.
We live in the dark ages. We really do, because there are great things you can take. You know, this whole thing is sort of over with, as long as people can get medicines that actually work rather than
having to pay
being
big pharma,
constantly told to vaccinate up and see if they can get a myocardial problem. I mean, there are lots of ones that won't help everybody, but sure helps an enormous number of people. And it's sickening that your government and your medical societies and everyone else kind of goes, no, we want you to die or whatever.
We want you to be real sick. Well, we had our guest on the show, Judd Dunning. Maybe we can talk to him about it. Judd he's an author, a commentator. He's got, I wanted to talk to him about a book or a new column he's got out in Newsmax, The Religion of Overcompliance and Overreliance. Also, he has a new book out, 13 and a half Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal. Hey, Judd, thank you for your time this afternoon. We sure appreciate it. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show.
Thank you, Joy. I'm glad to be here. I just walked out of the room taking my ivermectin, so I'm glad to have that.
Good move.
You know, there is a funny thing, too. Let me get real quick before we get into I was reading that the CDC now acknowledges that natural immunity was more effective with the Delta variant than the vaccine, which cracked me up. First of all, that they're acknowledging that, hello. But secondly, you couldn't have natural immunity. And natural immunity is when you get it and recover. So you couldn't have natural immunity to the first variant, right? So there's like, it didn't work for the first variant. It's like, well, no. I mean, they're still trying to spin this whole thing, you know?
Yeah, the CDC is definitely, they're taking their playbook on authenticity and integrity from the Biden administration, obviously, because there's been so many contradictions and so many changes. It's been really, you know, it's interesting right now because, you know, we were introduced to, I mean, it was always there, but we had fake news through Donald Trump's awareness and what he's brought forward to us. But now we have to look at fake science, you know, and we have to look at fake philosophy. And there's a bifurcated reality of everything now in 2022. And, you know, it's interesting. The CDC has got so many discretions that it's, you know, and we're asked to trust them with our body, our life, and our children. And I think Americans are just, you know, I think we're done. I think we're waking up. I mean, when Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor gets 4 Pinocchios for making a COVID claim, I think the system's just falling in on itself.
Well, then they asked Rochelle Lewinsky about it, and she gave this wonderful kind of, yeah, but, and then quickly, you know, a word salad of 30 seconds. And they said, yeah, but Brett Baer said, yeah, but the number was totally wrong. Well, let me tell you about pediatrics.
But not all the children are dying. Well, maybe not. They're not dying.
So they have zero credibility. We now know that Dr. Fauci really is, I don't know,
getting rich criminal? Off of it, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, he hid the fact that it came from Wuhan. He funded it. He overemphasized the fact that vaccines would cure everything. They've cured nothing. But he does not of the medicines that actually, if you get it, you can be helped by it. I mean, it's amazing. He's the chief medical authority of this country. Wow.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Martin McCary. You know, we had him on our show. We had McCullough on our show. And, you know, they gave us the protocol. I mean, the bottom line is we're all testing our own situations. But, you know, it's sad. When you were talking at the very beginning of the show, you know, we went from using the protocol, you know, the ivermectin or the hydroxychloroquine with the zinc, with the quercetin, with the amoxicillin, with the bromphidiem, and with the prednisone to keep the lungs calm. We gave that to one of our employees, and that employee was immediately, 2 days was better. We saw it happen. So, wow. And that was for $30. That was $30 for those prescriptions. People are now getting those prescriptions in the black market throughout Los Angeles for $300. Wow. There's a black market of and monoclonal antibodies. I went to Texas. I got COVID on December 2nd. I walk in. They're like, oh, my, their son, take off the mask. He said, you might as well throw ping pong balls at a chain link fence because the microns don't work and we're not worried about you getting us sick. And I was like, how refreshing. And then he says, get these antibodies. I put them in. Next day, 80% reversal, and I was well. And I used, right. And they gave me the protocol there, and it cost me a $65 copay. Now people are paying black market thousands of dollars for monoclonal antibodies in Beverly Hills and all these different. There's backdoor doctors. All these black market doctors. They forced us to split against the law, actually to violate certain laws in order to care for our health. So the CDC, you know, I think we're done, but I think it's far from done. We got a lot of road ahead of us.
We do. Well,
it would be incredible if you know, rather than sending us free test kits and everything else.
Yeah, 3 weeks from now when the peak is over.
Send us a black market kit and we'd all be
like
fine.
Like they did in India.
Our government is insane.
There's there's a certain culling of stupidity. I don't mean people passing, but I mean people breaking away from the rationality of caring for ourselves, which is the beauty of America. We really are, like, look what you know, today the UK broke away and said, no more mandates, no more masks, no more. The UK, so we saw the Brexit over there. Now we saw this. Hopefully we will go back and we'll follow Mother England today.
Well, all I have to do is find the prime minister at a party, and then all of a sudden he changes his mind 180 degrees.
Rather than go through the scandal, he's like,
what's that? So we catch Biden somewhere.
Or my favorite super spreader.
Yeah, you'll be glad to know. I don't know if you had a chance to listen at all the part of Biden's speech, but you'll be glad to know we're talking with Judd Dunning, this press conference, rather, that actually he is doing great. All of this talk about the problems and people not liking him, that's just a mistake. He's doing great. And any problems that there might be, which really aren't any, but in case they are, they're the fault of Republicans, Donald Trump, and COVID.
All you need to do is get all your boosters and get all your vaccinations.
And pass his election care or his election fraud bill. So
and don't worry about
it. True. Well, the seventh booster is the luckiest, I heard. So when you get to seven. So, you know, Biden, it's interesting today that you would say, because I was listening to it on the way in to do the show. And, you know, Biden is backing the Ukraine, which is within our policy. But then at the same time, the Ukraine, their AG is being indicted as it relates to the graft that's happening in the UK, which could relate to the Biden administration. So, you know, people think that there's not a globalist, plutocratic, elitist agenda in big government. I mean, it's undeniable because we do not jail our plutocratic elitists in the United States of America. Nobody goes to jail. So that doesn't make sense because by the nature of criminality and greed and human nature, some people would eventually get busted and go to jail. We don't see any of that. So plutocratic, elitist government, globalist government does exist. People get these God complexes. And now it's interesting why he's standing for Ukraine. And you're like, oh, well, Biden's making a standardized decision, even though Trump is more of a, was definitely more of a, you know, isolationist policy, but in balance. But it was a decent decision. But then you have to question, why is he doing it at this time? Because right. there's so much specifically straight line graph tied to the Biden family in the Ukraine.
Right.
It's hard to even
right.
trust what his press conference is really about.
Right. Well, and then he went on ahead and said, actually, which was bizarre, that if Putin just went into Ukraine a little bit, that he wouldn't react. And it's like, well, what does that mean?
Well, we watched Wag the Dog, and I saw that film.
Have you ever seen that, Wag the Dog?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is all staged in a Hollywood set.
Yeah, you know, well,
carry the baby to the ruins, and we're going to have an official war, and it's going to be, you know.
That's a good point.
This is Wag the Dog. I mean, you know, I don't think anything's happened in Ukraine. It's just all in a Hollywood set with Dustin Hoffman.
Well put. And he, but he did say something really, I thought, unorthodox and inappropriate. He said, well, although they would be, you know, basically they would be victorious over time, while we're backing them, it would be at some level of human loss. I mean, you don't tell somebody up front that they're going to win. It was the strangest moment. I'm like, why did you mention it?
You'll be dead, but we'll win.
Right. Right. Wink, wink, nod, nod. It's a sad time for us, right? I think that we've got 2022. We saw this Youngkin thing. I think America's got to focus on how do we get in the deconstructionist, anti-institutional rock stars that reflect Trump's prior America First priorities. And I think the more the left sabotages and lies and pushes COVID, the better they set us up for 2022.
I think you're right. And it goes to, and I wanted to talk to you about your column because I thought it was great in Newsmax, the religion of over compliance and then over reliance on government. And you're absolutely right. The two are kind of tied in. And maybe let me have you kind of explain your points or how they use COVID and, you know, we've got to comply. And then to be saved, we've got to rely on the government. I mean, they create the problem and then they're the solution to the problem.
And they make a monopoly like monoclonal.
Yeah, and
antibodies.
Bill Gates makes money.
Yeah, like, okay, we'll buy it all up, and there won't be any for you. There you go. We'll solve your problem.
Well, yeah, well, we're on the dole and we're on the teat. And, you know, I always like to say this personally. I had the great fortune of being the first kid to rehab in 1987 and from my fraternity. And, you know, they said, hey, you know, in order for you to be in this halfway house after treatment, you're going to go, we're going to get you food stamps and, you know, there was a shame. There was this whole thing. It was a healthy shame. You know, I was like, okay.
Right.
They're like, no, this is good for the organization. This helps us do your thing here. I think I burned my last 30 grand at college at the time, you know, my fund to get there. And so I remember that moment. Okay. I'm like, okay, I've hit a low spot in 87. I will allow assistance. That's what the safety net was for. But I remember that feeling of like, we don't do this. We don't let government involved in our life. So I, you know, that was a noble moment. But what we did with PPP, EDD, and if I could say so, also probably too much THC, during the entire COVID pandemic was we normalized business people and institutions to receiving PPP. I'm in real estate. And like, hey, where'd that $2 million go that you got on your net operating income last year? Oh, that was PPP. It's forgiven. I'm like, well, where is it in your balance sheet? Well, we're not using it on the balance sheet for the valuation. I'm like, okay, so you took it.
Right.
So we have a lot of people now that will take the stimulation, blame government, and then have an entitlement to keep it. I didn't take any, and I worked 70 hours a week. I had my best year, even though a lot of people went down, because I just pulled up my bootstraps and did what we do as Americans for ourselves. So what we open up the article is about is there is a and for the word religious, it is actually the word religion is to rebind. So we got hypnotized and rebound through this crisis to allowing ourselves to be reliant and compliant. And this, I think this is going to take a long time for this to unwind. And also the labor markets, try hiring a normal person right now who doesn't think they're worth 30% more than they are. You know?
Right.
Well, I have a friend who has a nightclub and very much a feeling that they don't want government and everything else. And the Biden administration said, great, because you employ X number, you get $1.2 million. And he's gone.
What? Okay.
I can't turn that down. I mean, I think it's stupid and it's asinine. And why should I get $1.2 million? But $50,000 I turned down. $1.2 million? No way.
Well, and that comes from somewhere, though, right, Jed? I mean, it comes.
No, it doesn't come from the great government up in the sky.
That's the way to put it. I mean, we did print it. That's true. You know, the problem is though, and what I did address in the article, if you think about consequence culture or cancel culture, really, it's group bully think, right? Essentially, on a deep level, what was the left using to push this through? The concept of shame. And shame means that not that we are saved by grace and repairable, but it means that we are inherently broken or flawed. So we're racist, fascist, climatist, Trumpist, white nationalist people. And so, therefore, we should comply. If we don't comply, if we don't even challenge a vaccine, we fall into this element. So then what happens to the person that is called a bigot? They're thrown out of society. They're unkind. They violate the natural law. And then what do they do? On the death level, on the psychological level, when you're thrown out of the pack, you starve to death. You're ostracized. It's a really brutal, it's a brutal approach from the cultural Marxists of this day. And what they're doing is they're going, and you can go roll back to the Obama years. When he was at the UN, he was shaming us from the pulpit. That had never happened before in the UN, shaming your own people. Right. Biden, now, I know leftists that are saying, hey, angry, shaming, dementia grandpa, like people from the left are saying this guy operates from, he's kind of angry, pissed off grandpa. Right. So they're using this platform to tap into, we are out of control, we must be controlled to be good people, which is really this, you know, this, as we say, this cult of our society. And then now what is the thing to do? Then you have to vaccinate. And there's huge risks in vaccination. There's huge risks in relying on the government, because what happens? That money runs out. And now people no longer have things for the next business, for the college, for health savings, for travel, suicide, abuse is up, but we're bound to government. I think this is a New Deal type like era, and that we have to shake people out of it.
Mm. Well, and you're right. And again, you know, then you get Biden up there and there's no shame. It's just like when he was in Afghanistan, he's like, oh, no, we're going to bring everybody home. We won't leave till we get everybody out. Everything is going fine. I mean,
this is a new Dunkirk.
There is no inflation. And if there is, it's because of Trump, the Republicans, and COVID.
There was a general in Korea that at the beginning when the war was going badly, and the news conference said, well, why are all our troops retreating from Joseon Roosevelt all the way down? He said, we're not retreating. We're advancing in a different direction. and that's what Biden is. Oh, everything is perfect. Everything is wonderful.
Well, and Jed, to your point, I mean, they expect us to believe it. And if you dare to speak out, I mean, we see what happens. If you like say, wait, but there is inflation. Actually, I was at the grocery store this morning. Then you're shamed. Then you're a white supremacist. You're a racist. You're canceled. And they go out, they flat out lie to us. And then they go out of their way to shame you, to make you shut up. And I think, though, people are onto that. I think, as we've been saying, people have had the red pill shoved down their throat. And I think there is hope at any rate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's a deconstructed, there's a pressure building up, like we saw during the Facebook broadcast of the Trump rallies before Trump took his inertia. That pressure is still there. We are still there. America is still there. But the problem is, in the meantime, the state and federal registries are being decimated by override, and this, like, there's a general consensus among the left to deconstruct. So we have these breakouts like Youngkin. But look what's happening in California. I mean, it just became legal out here to eat roadkill. That was a positive for all of us. new law that was important to pass to protect those less entitled. So, by the way, if you see a homeless person and he asks you for a buck, you know, saying, I don't need to give you any money, sir. Newsom has allowed us to feed you through roadkill. So, I mean, the stupidity of the deconstruction we have here, and they're saying they're going to bring out more taxes and we have to have gender neutral toy areas, but we're not addressing the real issue, which is this huge infringement on personal freedom. Right. And that is the new cult. It's like, we do not need the same level of personal freedom to more for it. So can we put government in the box?
Right.
Well, what's so shocking is places like Australia, Austria, other places, you kind of go, I thought those were quasi. I knew Australia used to be a penal colony. I didn't know it decided to go back to one. I mean, it's just shocking.
Yes, sir. That is so true. I mean, that is the point that we have to. And by the way, when you give back your guns, voluntarily and eliminate the balance of power. I mean, if that isn't a Second Amendment example of what's possible there, there's some really miserable, brutalized people over there. And, you know, I talked to somebody there and they said, no, we're the more compliant Queens people originally. And I said, that's not true at all. I said, that's what you've been told to believe. I go, you guys were a hell-raising group of rough and tumble people who were thrown to a country, basically into a debtor's prison.
We're talking with author and commentator Jed Dunning. You can read his latest column up on Newsmax. And we were talking the other day, like all of a sudden, authoritarianism is good. Anti-authoritarianism is bad.
Anti-authority ideologues must be hunted down
by the Justice Department. I mean, being compliant, I think that used to be kind of bad, right? Nobody wanted to be compliant.
Being pro-Hitler didn't used to be good, but now I guess they're pro-authoritarian. Love Stalin.
I think that was me. Excuse me to you and your listeners.
Continue. Oh, well, we were just saying, I mean, they've switched the words. They've switched, we were saying, being authoritarian is now bad, is good, and anti-authoritarian ideologues are being, hunted down by the Justice Department. Being compliant, I mean, it used to be, who wanted to be compliant, right? Well, now being compliant is good, and you're a bad person, you're a domestic terrorist if you're not compliant. But again, I think there's hope because I think, they have riled up enough people on enough different topics, and the economy sucks, and the prices at the grocery store are crazy, and there's nothing to buy even if you go there. And that's a kind of thing, I think you may get people saying, I don't mind my mask, but I can't get anything at this stupid grocery store. I don't want to wear a mask everywhere I go and not be able to find what I'm looking for. I think, and then Biden just gets up there and lies, but I don't think he's going to be able to sell it. I don't think the poll numbers are going to tomorrow go, we didn't realize it was just the Republicans and Trump, and all of a sudden they're going to love him. Do you?
Go ahead. I'll let Jancy have to give a comment.
No, not at all. I think you're exactly on with what's happening with this trend. I think the most important thing that we have to remember is we have to continue to go back to the federal papers and Alexander Hamilton, all these things. They aren't antiquated. What works for conservatism is good and true. And he said, Alexander Hamilton, and this article said really clearly, suspect the people, back to the beginning of our talk, suspect the people that are the closest to you. There's a heavy skepticism of the CDC. We know they're making billionaires. We know it's been politicized. We know they changed the PCR test right after Biden came in. We know that Fauci has said that masks didn't work for a period of time, that only the social distancing is enhanced, the vaccines may not have efficacy. He is being allowed, we're being allowed to continue to double talk and act, I mean, we're being gaslit, as they say, by these governmental institutions. And what's sad is, what do you do if the social order of our society, which I see, the grandfatherly role is the president, and you have police, parents, coaches, pastors, and police. There's a structure of our society. When the president sits by, has no opinion upon ethics and integrity. When have you heard Biden, except for saying other people are bad, wrong, flawed, or broken, when has he actually been skeptical as our leader of anything in the system between the three branches, as Hamilton and Adams and Madison and all of our founders said, challenge and be doubt, and trust and verify. So how do we get our culture back to that?
Well, here's a worrisome thing to me. I'm not sure the Gallup polls came out and said Biden's at 40%. His first year was the lowest approval for any president other than Trump during this first year. But they didn't emphasize, if you looked at it, is that Biden has the highest approval, same party approval of any president since they've ever been taking it. Since back
the highest Truman. Approval?
Yeah, he has 91% approval from Democrats, which is higher than any other Republican or Democrat has ever had from his own party. So, he's lost the, Republicans, he's in single digits.
Independents,
he's lost three quarters of them. But among Democrats, he remains incredibly popular, which means they all must be listening to CNN and MSNBC and Joe Biden. And Joe Biden said, it's great, we're doing great. And they go, oh, yeah, great, we're doing great. I mean, we have an entire political party that's been totally gaslit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, I love the way you simplify things, and you brought in military history, by the way, on the show like a couple times. And I always say, if you really want to see the way America works and what's really at stake, just study military history when we were actually fighting for our negative or positive liberties. And I don't know how to simplify it anymore right now in these times, but it does feel like we're at war. I mean, I had another article that came out right before this called Welcome to the Anger Games. And it was basically about, you know, we're seeing like vociferous pointed anger at anyone who opposes government expansion. That's where we're getting this, oh, I better comply, I better take. But generally, I'm living in Texas 50% of the time now because people, we walk in and people are bullying us to be maxed or vaxxed. It does feel like in a lot of places in the United States, we are in a general intrusion of our day-to-day rights by people who aren't actually government officials.
Yeah.
Didn't have to. I mean, if you go back and you kind of go, well, when is our basic constitutional rights been violated? It's always been times of war. During the Civil War, getting rid of habeas corpus, and the Japanese in turn during World War II. But never, I don't think, in
sort
our time.
Sort of a cultural war that we're in now.
Well, no, but we're jailing people, we're violating their rights left and right, and it's a peacetime. But you're absolutely right, it doesn't feel like peacetime.
I think that's your sixth military reference, by the way. I love the show.
Oh, no, thank you. Hey, we'll have you back. Jed, we got to let you go, though, for now. I always like to do this. Where can people find you? I know you've got that book, 13 and a Half Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal. Where can people find out more about you? Because I've been reading in the comments section here. People love you. So where can they get more
from you? So JudDunning.com, JudDunning.com, JudDunning.com. That's 3 D's. And you can also get me on Twitter at JudDunning. That's pretty much the Jud Dunning universe where you can go. We have a show, Unapologetic, on ABC. We have our articles, which are really where my passion lies because there's so much freedom. And then we on AM radio beside y'all. So, and then Thursdays and Fridays, you'll see us on Newsmax.
All right. Fantastic.
Thank you. You've been great. We'll have you back. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you so much. God bless America. Take care.
All right. Thank you there. Jud Dunning there. He was great. He was great.
Well, we're going to have another great person.
We've had another great person too. You guys, and we haven't had time. We're watching all your comments. And sometimes during the show, I don't want anyone to think we don't see him and we don't care. Just sometimes we don't have time to get to him. Because we're going to jump gears right now. Speaking of another great American, we've got Representative Ron Hanks. Senate candidate Ron Hanks joining us today. Hey, Ron, you could go ahead and bring your camera back up and unmute yourself if you're there. Are you working?
Well, hi, Julie. I'm not too impressed with my feed here, so I don't know. If this is going to work video wise.
You want to just go with the audio?
Sound wise works. You look a little fuzzy, but maybe that's.
That happens to me all the time.
Maybe that's good. Sometimes not bad. A little fuzzy never hurts.
I've been accused of that, but this is like Elizabeth Taylor and the silk screen they put.
Yes, exactly.
Do you want to try maybe turning your camera off? Does that help a little bit, Thomas?
Well, let's try that.
Okay.
That's the ultimate silk screen right there. Yes.
There we go. Then Chuck and I can't make faces, which we don't do that. Well, I make faces.
Well, a minor miracle. Well, I wouldn't call it minor. A major miracle occurred 2 days ago where Ron Hanks was featured in a Denver Post story. And it wasn't just all negative. I mean, it was just, wait a minute. This sounds kind of slightly positive about Ron Hanks. It must not have been edited. Something must have gotten through. I mean, it was shocking. Shocking.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I mean, I always am hopeful that the media is going to look at things objectively, a little more objectively than they have up to this point. We've had many events where we've welcomed the media to them and to the event and always ask for, a nice hospitality towards them. And then you get kind of the jailhouse shiv in the reporting that they provide, So I noticed that in the post, and let's hope we can have a bit more honest dialogue. Because
you got one. Don't ever think that's going to happen again.
And before we go further, though, I just want to address. Hey, Ron, on Monday's show, Chuck was not here because he has got the Omicron or whatever variant they're doing these days. And we've had some comments, people who joined us late on Zoom. So I just want to say, yeah, Chuck is better. Thanks to ivermectin, he's back.
And Charlie looks dead. What the hell? Oh my God, I can't believe that. Guy is still technically alive.
But wanted to talk to you sort of also about kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly, as I've been saying, at the legislature. So one of the things they did is the Democrats.
Ron is a representative, and he's running for
Senate.
The only grassroots candidate running for Senate, and so we've endorsed him and thinks he's great.
That's right. And at the Capitol, though, I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, and not surprised by the traitors. So what happened, and I'll let you explain it, but basically most of the members of the Colorado Republican House Caucus stood up for election integrity, stood up for freedom, stood up and thanked you for going to the Capitol on January 6th to stand up for all of our rights. There were several traitors, and we want to talk about that, but let's talk about the good guys first, because liberal heads are exploding over this. So I want to talk to you about what this amendment said, and the resolution. Of course, the Democrats did pass it, but what it was you guys were trying to do and what you did accomplish.
Well, it was House Resolution 221004, and we got kind of late wind of what was in it, and not a lot of information in advance that we could use. So, you know, I was in support of the resolution up until about line six. And then it kind of went haywire after that. So we felt obliged to offer a few alternative versions of it. I adjusted the last page. And I guess the Democrats did go a little nuts on it. They you can tell when they all run up and start taking pictures of it, of the amendments as they're displayed, that something isn't clicking with them. So, yeah, it was an interesting, I guess we put together four or five resolutions to try to make a little bit of a dent in it. And frankly, the action items on the last page were all 180 degrees from what I believe to be the truth. And so when my resolution came up there, it was quite a bit different than what they had written.
And what did they write? Tell us what they wrote, and then what you wrote, if you can.
They said, we, the members of the House of Representatives, reassert the validity of the 2020 presidential election results. And I put that we request a full forensic audit of the 2020 and 2021 elections and a review of the voter rolls for accuracy and updates, all of which should be conducted by a non-governmental agency and not by any contractor or company involved in the conduct of elections in Colorado, in other states, or other nations.
Well, Ron, we can't have that, right? I mean, they certainly exploded over having trying to get to the bottom of things and get to the truth. We certainly can't have that. I can understand why they oppose that.
Yeah, you know, the idea that only the government can audit itself is kind of galling to me. I want to try to use that with the IRS and say, hey, you can't audit me. I've double checked my work. I'm golden here.
And my wife supports it. My wife agrees with me. Yeah. She did her own audit.
Right. The next one was offer, this is theirs, offer Colorado's premier electoral system as a model for states across the country to adopt in order to increase voter participation while ensuring electoral integrity. Mine was, offer warning to other states of the national security risks inherent with electronic voting systems, such as Dominion voting systems, which are built in China using foreign labor and are built with wireless internet connections, according to the build sheets provided to the Office of the Secretary of State of Colorado, and are which are not secure in any national security sense of the word.
Ah, okay. So
the problem with the their second one, if it's a problem, is that you have the former chair of the Republican Party and Congressman Ken Buck, who would agree with it. I mean, that's what's just so shocking. He would agree with that statement.
Yeah, it's certainly open to perception, isn't it? I mean, you know, or maybe it would be a little less open if people actually were objective or investigatory. And
right.
That has been my complaint with the media. The media has really doubled down on the using the words baseless and conspiracy.
And debunked. Everything is debunked, right? No matter what, if they don't like it, number one, it's a conspiracy theory. And number two, it's been debunked. They never, of course, say.
But I got that. I mean, because they're just an arm of the DNC and the Colorado Democratic Party. But
we're going to have to make Chuck stop talking.
He stopped talking. But the head of the Republican Party? Is a shill for the Democratic Party? I mean, it's just too...
Well, and I think they're running out of room to maneuver, because I mentioned on the floor of the House yesterday that Rasmussen is, I guess, a reasonably respected polling organization. But in October of 2021, their polls indicated that 56% of Americans believe there was election fraud. Well, it went from 56 in October to 59% in December.
Right. So, stuff is coming out, and that is undeniable, right? You look at, you know, you can argue, did it have a difference or did it make a difference? But you look at, you know, the whistleblower who came forward in Georgia and talks about being paid $10, the illegal ballot harvesting there, where any ballot harvesting is illegal. You look at all kinds of stuff. You look at not checking names and all of this. And to say that it's the premier system, and to say no one's allowed to ask questions or audit, it's ridiculous. But anyway, go back to the resolution then. Theirs
number three.
Versus yours, yeah.
Yes, ma'am. There's the third and final. And theirs was call on the United States Congress, and specifically members of the United States Senate, to pass comprehensive voting rights legislation to protect the fundamental right to vote, which has been the cornerstone of our democracy since the founding of our republic. Well, that's very lofty, but... in the context of that resolution, I asked for it to be amended to call on the United States Congress to reaffirm the rights of the legislatures of the states of the United States to control the conduct of elections in their states.
Right.
So,
It's
unfortunate, but my amendment did not pass.
Well, and it's kind of funny, and Chuck's just going to go, people wonder where Chuck goes, just going to get some water. It's kind of funny that in the one resolution, they say our model is so great, we should give it to the rest of the country. And then the next one, they say we need the federal government to give us a model to make sure that everything's fair. I guess that's kind of struck me too. Well, let me ask. And then there were also, some of the members of the Colorado Republican caucus thanked you for going to the Capitol on January 6th, but not all Republicans supported all of this. Why don't you tell us how the vote broke down?
Well, you know, we had a couple of Republican colleagues that mysteriously disappeared and were excused for some of these amendments, to include our illustrious assistant minority leader. He missed all of our resolutions as excused, but managed to make it back in time, luckily, to vote on the resolution by the Democrats. And at that point, he did vote against their resolution. So at least he has that to his credit.
Who is that, so people know?
Our assistant minority leader. And there were others that did not vote in favor of the resolution thanking me for going to January 6th because they, as they indicated, didn't like the personalization of this amendment. And, you know, I appreciate all votes. I appreciate all explanations. Being absent is a little bit questionable, may I say.
Right. But, well, and also, I mean, some of the folks, and I apologize, because I know Hugh McCain is a minority leader who did not vote with the rest of you guys, right? But what's the name of the assistant minority leader?
Well, should I really add more rancor to our to our minority caucus? Did I hear it?
Well, it's this is just from a listener name, please.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, it is a matter of record.
Oh, Tim. It's Tim, right? It's
Tim Geithner. You're correct.
Okay, Tim Geithner.
And that's the way it is. You know, I mean, you can't argue against the facts. And I'm sure he had a very legitimate reason to miss the Republican amendments but make it back for the Democrats. But that's politics, right?
That's it. Well, then, you know, and I'll say this. I don't think, particularly in this day and age where we have, and we know, the Democrats have openly said part of their strategy is to run and fund fake Republicans and Republican primaries who say one thing and then do another thing when they're elected. And so that's why, I guess, Ron, I'd say in your defense, in our defense, we're not trying to be rancorous or we're not trying to stir things up. We're just trying to say people need to know the facts. People need to know what the people they voted for and they elected, what they're actually doing when they get to the Capitol. So,
well, why shouldn't it be rancor? If you have Republicans who really believe in nothing but what the Democrats, then why shouldn't you point it out? I mean, they're probably proud of it.
I get both of your points. I mean, hopefully at some point in this session, there will be common ground among all Republicans to push back on this, but this is a poor start to it, I might suggest.
There's no chance it'll be common ground. I mean, there's zero that
well, Ron has to be hopeful. He's got to work with these guys.
Larson and what's our representative? Kevin Priola. I mean, geez.
Well, Ron's got to work with him. So, Ron, I understand and respect your position.
All
there.
They do is stab him in the back and work with him.
And here's the thing, and what they do then is when the Republicans do that, and I'm not putting your words in your mouth. This is me saying this. But I mean, these are Republicans then who give the Denver Post, the Colorado Sun, Colorado Politics, the Democrat Party, the ability to turn around and then to paint you guys, which as crazies and debunked conspiracy theorists, and say, and these are the reasonable Republicans.
Reach across the aisle. To stab their fellow Republicans in the back.
Yeah, it has repercussions beyond just every time they do this, right? To me, it's broader than just this one, you know, one particular, whatever the particular issue they're voting on. But thank you, though, for standing up. And because I got to sometimes wonder, you know, do you and Patrick Neville and Dave Williams, do you guys ever just say, oh, God, it's your turn to write the resolutions? I did it last time. I mean, how do you guys not give up? I mean, I just so appreciate that you don't, but it's just got to get exhausting down there sometimes.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, it is. But we worked all rather independently of one another on this one because we simply did not have sufficient communication from anywhere that this was coming out. And so we all kind of scrambled just in our own little office and, you know, laptops. And but, you know, we do what we have to do, and that's why I decided to run for U.S. Senate.
How's that going? Tell us about your efforts.
Well, you know, I watched this Biden regime. I contend he was not legitimately elected, and we have a real problem with that. Look at the inflation. Look at the disaster of Afghanistan. I mean, it isn't going to take too much longer for people to recognize that this is not a Democrat in the pro-America sense of the word. I mean, Biden is the best friend foreign governments ever had, whether they helped elect him or not. Real quick story. I went to go buy another color printer. I bought one a year and a half ago, and it was $432 on Amazon counting tax. I thought, well, I'll just buy the same one. Before tax, I cannot touch the same one for under $900.
That's because you blew apart your other one on an ad.
I
mean,
I wish I had it back, Chuck. It was a little heavy, but, you know.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I've told this before here too. It's like Fritos, right? Normally about $3.50, maybe $4 a bag, right? They were selling for $17 a bag on Amazon, and it said only 19 left in stock. Hurry up. And I'm going to use that point to get back to just to criticize the Democrats a little bit more. So on one of the first days of the session, with everything that's going on, with all of the issues, crime, inflation, small businesses, 43% fewer small businesses this year than there were last year at this time, thanks to Governor Polis and the Democrats' policies, gas taxes, all of this. What they decide to do is to pass some stupid resolution that has no impact on anything.
And thank God they did. Well, because any solution they had for the problems you just listed would be make it 100 times worse. If they could do these resolutions the entire session, it would be a huge plus for this state.
Good point.
Well, I agree. They came out and, you know, they roll out the red carpet for themselves and then carry on this pageantry about how they are going to lead Colorado into the future and govern Colorado. And it kind of makes my skin crawl a little bit. And I have to say this, their legislative agendas are to make Colorado safer. And I'm thinking, well, most of the crime wave that we're witnessing is because of the anti-police, defund the police policies and these weak bail procedures and release on recognizance. And then they say they're going to make Colorado more affordable. And it's like, well, you know, you're adding to the fees. You destroyed people's personal businesses. And now you're going to raise the Colorado budget from 34.6 to over 40 billion this year. If they want to do either one of those things, what I suggest we do is pass a resolution that our session be cut from 120 days down to about 45. That would save Colorado more money than anything, make it more affordable than anything else they've got on the docket.
That's
well,
right.
You may notice that those two items that you just listed off are the two lead items on the Republicans are running on, affordability and public safety, along with transparency. So it's amazing that the compact with Colorado and the Democratic ones say the exact same words. So I don't know how someone who's out there voting kind of go, well, they're for the same thing, aren't they?
Well, that's where you're great, right, with the resolution. It's like, let's get specific. Let's say, here's, you know, not like, la, 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 we're for election integrity. I mean, that's what I appreciate about you. Hey, listen, we're kind of getting to the close of the end of the show, and I want to be sure to give you time to briefly tell people, where can they find out more about you? Where can they help? Because you're not going to be running for the legislature again. And so the Senate, this is where people need to support you. How can they do that? And how can they help and find out about you?
Well, thank you both. It is simply at hanks4colorado.com. And that's Hanks, F-O-R-Colorado.com. My platform is simply that I'm a 32-year military veteran, active reserve, enlisted and commissioned officer. I was a linguist. I was an intelligence officer. I've put in a lot of time in service to this country because I joined the service out of high school under Reagan. I had patriotic ideals that have never wavered. And now what I see with this Biden administration, I could not sit by and do nothing. We have to push back against Biden's regime. And frankly, it's a good year to do it. They have, we have to gain traction, gain ground in 2022. We still have to look at 2020 and look at the elections and correct what we can in the process. But I'm a big national security guy, and that is national security is a lot of things. It's border security. Yeah. It's energy security. It's manufacturing security. I mean, we get 95% plus of our antibiotics from China. Okay. And we get a whole bunch of fentanyl over the border from China, too. And that's not an accident. We are being set up for a lot of lines of effort where we are extremely vulnerable, and we have to gain ground in 2022. So I ask for your listeners' support. I'm grateful for their interest. HanksForColorado.com. Join the fight with me, please. And thank you.
This is exciting because, quite frankly, if you can pull off a little bit of a miracle and win the primary against, I think, a group of people who are not very good for us, it looks like that the Colorado Senate seat is up for grabs, at least according to Real Clear Politics. Biden goes under 42%. Colorado is potentially up for grabs, so it'd be incredibly exciting to have you in the U.S. Senate. It could be,
that's right. Hey, Ron, listen, I know you're busy with the legislature. Probably should let you go because God knows what they're doing. Just in the last half hour. So we'll let you go back and fight for us there. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks for Colorado. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Thank you both and stay healthy.
All right. Hey, and I want to say to everybody, I apologize for not being able to read all of the comments. We see them and they're always great comments. And you guys do a good job talking yourselves.
Well, as a practical matter, a lot of them are for each other. So you don't have to read them.
Oh, and this is about Patrick Neville. No, I believe Patrick Neville guys is still there. He just can't. He's term limited out, right?
Yeah, he's sort of a little discouraged.
Well, I think he's. What's the word? I mean, he's doing what he can.
Looking for what he's going to do next. And I don't think it's going to be in politics.
But he's still there and he's doing all the right things. I don't think he's moved out of state. So
No, he's still there.
I think he's just letting people like Ron Hanks and Dave Williams, people who are running for office and still, you know, are making or that can be there. I think he's letting them take more of a leadership role. Hey, Ron, on Friday, we're going to have Ted Trimpa on.
We won't want to miss that.
Yeah, Ron, ask him. Well, he'll be glad to tell us. Why Biden's poll numbers are so low. We didn't even get a chance to talk about the fun NPR situation I won't even get to it because it takes too long, but there's so much fun stuff going on.
Yeah, there is.
And thank goodness for all of you guys and people like Ron Hanks and Jed Dunning. There is a lot of reason to be hopeful. I got to say, a while ago, I was not particularly hopeful, but every day I get more hopeful. Because I think, again, people who haven't chosen to take the red pill are having it forced down their throat. And that's making
not
a difference.
Not enough of them. We got to do more forcing.
Hey, catch all of our shows at chuckandjulie.com. That'll take you to whatever link you want to go to. You can always also get us at bbsradio.com. You can subscribe to us there, become a paid sponsor. We sure appreciate that and appreciate all of you who are already doing that. But otherwise, Chuck will continue taking Ivermectin. I will too.
And you will too. Rev's gotten a little sick, but you know.
It'll be a true party Friday. So we'll see you all then.
Yeah, you won't want to miss Friday. Take care.